Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, the director of the Nevada Department of Conservation and Natural Resources, Brad Crowell, joins us for the whole program on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Hello, is this D&D Roofing?
Yes, it is. How may I help you?
You did such a great job on my roof. May I speak to the owner?
I am an owner.
Oh, can I speak to your supervisor?
Sure.
How may I help you?
I love your work. May I speak to the owner?
I am an owner. We're all owners. Well, that's why at D&D we work so hard to keep your home safe and sound.
Oh, no wonder.
D&D Roofing and Sheet Metal. Local, employee-owned, here for you.
Retail's impact on Nevada's economy? Enormous. 8,600 businesses, large and small, employing 145,000 workers. And last fiscal year, retail paid tax on nearly $60 billion in sales. We're the Retail Association of Nevada. We support retail. We help it grow. And we mean business.
RANNV.org.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always pleased to welcome back to the program Brad Crowell. He's director of the Department of Conservation and Natural Resources. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
Thanks for having me again, Sam.
So, in the time since we last visited, you've put out the blueprint for the Nevada Climate Blueprint. For those that have not read the document, give us the broad spectrum of what you're hoping to accomplish and over what time period.
Sure. So in simple terms, this blueprint is can be looked at as a roadmap or a framework for addressing carbon emissions and impacts of climate change across our whole economy. So every aspect of what we do in life. To date, most of Nevada's efforts to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and address climate change have been through large utility-scale renewable energy development and our renewable portfolio standard driving that. We were one of the early adopters, and we've made great progress in having a clean electricity portfolio at the utility scale. But we have not made the progress we need to make in other areas like transportation, industrial sector emissions, so like from heating and air conditioning, land use planning and things like that. And so this is intended to be a more integrated approach to addressing economy-wide climate change impacts and hopefully seizing the economic opportunity that comes with it.
So one of our pundits on the program, when asked about this, their immediate response was follow the money. How do you respond to that?
Well, I think I know what they're implying, but I look at it as we should be following the money as a state and trying to capture where the money is and the economic benefits are. We can either lead on clean energy technologies and the kinds of industries and technologies that will make us leaders and both in our region and around the country, or we can sit back and wait for other states and regions to develop those technologies and adopt them, and then we'll follow along. But I think those that move quickly and move first will capture the greatest economic benefits of addressing climate change. And in this COVID environment, I think it gives us a perfect opportunity to rebuild in a smart, clean energy friendly way, and one that addresses all economic, socioeconomic classes.
All right, as usual, I'm going to play the devil's advocate.
Sure.
and throw things out there. So government running things, you know, especially these kind of projects, tends to be expensive and not always successful. Solyndra would be the one that, you know, jumps out, but there have been plenty of those kind of situations in Nevada where we've seen large solar plants fail for various reasons. Should it be private enterprise that's leading the way, or government?
Well, there's really two buckets to look at here, Sam. You've got our energy generation portfolio, so all the things that NV Energy does to bring the majority of us electricity. And, you know, there's a statutory renewable portfolio standard. They're regulated by the Public Utilities Commission. So, you know, that process is very defined, and there's a roadmap from here to 2030 for that NV Energy has developed and had approved by the PUC to lower the emissions from our, you know, large-scale electricity generation. But it's all those other areas where we need programs, policies, incentives, investment, and as well as, most importantly, you know, coordinated action across the state, county, and city level in order to achieve the things that are in this strategic climate plan that we put together.
All right, so can you get into a few of the details of how you're going to get there? Because if you're breaking it down into county and city, what kind of instructions are going to come from the state to those entities?
So
especially in a place like Nevada, where we don't particularly like the government telling us what to do.
Right. So first of all, nearly everything in the climate plan will need either, you know, legislative approval or, you know, input and design into the policy. It will need budget and investment to implement those policies. So there's a lot of discussion still to be had in the design of what programs we should develop and implement, and whether how we push those programs down or encourage the locals to adopt them. Hopefully it's because we have a mutually shared interest in rebuilding in a stronger, more climate resilient way. And so I think there's incentive for all levels of government to do this, and it's a matter of coordinating your investment so you're not duplicating efforts, so you're putting new infrastructure for, say, electric vehicles where it's needed, be it along the highways, be it in low-income residential apartment complexes. All of those things can and should be done. The big outlier and the tough one for Nevada, I think, is going to be to transition from our historic model of sprawl when we grow to growing more smartly, taking advantage of infill and reuse and planning our transportation systems around where people work and having public transit so people don't have to rely on their car. That's going to make a big difference, and that's going to be a challenge for, it's going to be different from what we've done in the past, particularly in Clark and Washoe.
And, you know, if Dana Titus was sitting here, she'd be applauding right now because, you know, her concept of Ring Around the Valley was exactly what you're talking about, to promote infill rather than sprawl. But you look at Clark County and the potential for growth in Clark County, which has been slowed, obviously, by coronavirus, but it hasn't been that kind of model, whereas in Reno, in almost a natural form of growth, infill is occurring just because it's making sense as the younger people are coming up and they want to be more involved in cities.
Yeah, and I think in Reno too, it's, you know, you have a kind of the natural environment provides a growth boundary where you can only sprawl so much, and that's, you know, part of what contributes to our home prices. But having more, you know, mixed use development, more range of variety of housing options. Not everyone has to live in a standalone single family home. Not everyone wants to, but having those options is a good one. And in Clark County, obviously they have a little bit more room to grow. There's a lot of discussion over the lands bill that Senator Masto has proposed.
That would be an understatement.
Yes, but it's a starting point. And, you know, neither the states or the feds can tell the counties how to grow, but we certainly can help them design policies that are consistent with our climate goals.
Where do you think the lands bill is going, just as an aside here?
Well, in this Congress, since we only have a few weeks, I think it's going nowhere, but I think it will probably come back in the next Congress. And, we have a lot of land bills out there right now, including
right.
Clark County.
Right.
Many of them are also, in one way, shape, or form, associated with the military land withdrawals that have been requested by Nellis Air Force and Fallon. You know, it's possible that in this, you know, in the next Congress, that the Clark County Lands Bill somehow gets tied to those land withdrawals, which we expect to be, you know, renewed and requested, the expansions to be renewed and requested. So, you know, it's going to take an effort on behalf of the stakeholder groups and the counties to show that they can align their plans with the lands bill in a way that makes sense.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll talk about the cost of all this right after this timeout.
Safety. We all think about it. You think about it when he buckles in, when you check your mirrors and put away your phone. RTC thinks about safety too. In fact, we create it. Center turn lanes mean fewer blind spots. Bike lanes keep cyclists and you safe. Roundabouts reduce injury collisions. And all these crosswalks are designed to keep families like yours safe. Safety is your priority, and it's ours too. Every day, in everything we do.
Because of UMC, there's a wide open road ahead of me.
Because of UMC, she can grow up with her twin sister.
Because of UMC, I'm here to help you.
UMC, the highest level of care in Nevada.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Brad Kroll. He is director of the Nevada Department of Conservation and Natural Resources. We're talking about the Nevada Climate Blueprint. In there, it basically says natural gas down the road is going to go away for the state of Nevada. And all my cooking friends immediately responded in a negative way to that, including myself. But do you really foresee, especially with the cost of natural gas and the abundance of it, it no longer being a product that we'll use down the road in Nevada?
So it depends by your definition of down the road. I think on what we proposed.
Well, okay, within the next 30 years.
I hope in the next 30 years, any natural gas that we're using is renewable natural gas. I think there's a role for natural gas going forward. I enjoy cooking with it as well. Many restaurants, you know, live and die on the ability to cook with gas. And, you know, certainly in this COVID environment where restaurants are struggling, we don't want to put an added burden on them. But the proposal in the climate strategy on natural gas was, you know, we chose our words very carefully there because it is a phased approach. It is not an overnight shutting anything off. We got hit by the left and the right on our natural gas proposal, which makes me think that we got it just about right. And it's a phased approach, and the initial phases are just basically providing more consumer choice. If a consumer wants to buy a new home in a newly developed, you know, subdivision, they should have the choice of whether they want the natural gas hookup or not. And that's, you know, that consumer choice is the starting point for all of this. There's not, you know, mandates coming down to get rid of anything, but it's expanding choice, and I think the market will evolve from there.
Are you concerned at all, or have these concerns been raised to you, that the reliance on electricity as this sole generator, or for the most part sole generator of power, is going to run into problems, especially when you look at what happened in California in this past summer that, boomeranged onto Nevada as well, with the power company shutting off power at times in California because they were concerned about wildfires and the liability, and then that shortage of power is coming over to Nevada and reflecting here in terms of air conditioning. Is there too much reliance in all of this on electricity when, you know, we... maybe over 30 years we're set up for it, but we're not set up for it now.
Well, again, this is none of these things are overnight propositions. They take time. And, you know, do we need to have secure baseload power to make sure the lights come on in any environment when you hit the switch? Yes. But, you know, the technologies are developing to be able to do that through battery storage, through being able to use, you know, geothermal as more on demand. You've got, you know, hydro. You've got other ways to do on demand that isn't just, and peaking that isn't just coal and natural gas. Obviously, you want to move away from coal because the environmental footprint is just too high. But we need to find a way to minimize our natural gas use as well. And you know, if at some point down the road we still have you know, a backup natural gas peaking plant, hopefully we're pairing that with offsetting those emissions in some other way so we can get to that net zero goal we're looking for.
Are you looking at a future where, for example, Southwest Gas doesn't exist anymore?
Hadn't even crossed my mind. No, that's not what we're looking
for. Nobody raised that issue? Because, I mean, that was that. In just looking, and obviously I have not gone through this thing with a fine-tooth comb, but I mean, in the news reports that have come out about it, one of the things it looked like was, you know, we're going, you know, full bore electricity over time. And so, you know, will natural gas companies be needed in the future? We've got somebody, by the way, coming on in January from Southwest Gas to discuss, you know, their thoughts on it. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it seems like, you know, we're already, coal is not going away because it's being used in other countries. So, you know, our national coal production is for the most part being exported at this point in time, I think you would agree. You know, is that what's going to end up with natural gas as well? Is it, you know, other countries are going to use it? Because that's part of the big picture here is for all we can do, and I'm not saying we shouldn't do anything because that's not a smart answer either, but for all we're doing, it's being offset by countries like India and Pakistan and China who are saying, you know, the United States had its industrial revolution in the 1800s, early 1900s. This is our industrial revolution. We should be allowed to do it, which is offsetting a lot of what you're trying to accomplish, both nationally and with the Nevada blueprint.
Well, I mean, I'm always wary of philosophical arguments that you know, capture the tragedy of the commons, and that's what that is. If, you know, it's why should we take any action if we're not confident others are, and it just makes our whole situation worse. Now, I take your point on those other countries, but at the same time, we can, you know, turn the mirror right back on ourselves. You know, India and China are at least part of the Paris Agreement still and have, you know, commitments and goals to reduce their contributions to climate change. The United States is not anymore. You know,
but it will be.
It most likely will be. And what kind of commitment they make to reducing greenhouse gases is going to be very telling about which direction we're going to go. But in terms of a future without Southwest Gas, I mean, I can't imagine that. But I think the first step is not jumping to that, you know, end scenario that may or may not come to pass, but is doing simple common sense steps like requiring the Southwest Gas to do integrated resource planning, just like NV Energy has to do when they go before the Public Utilities Commission.
They don't do it now?
No, and that's one of those recommendations in our report, is to have them integrate that resource planning and take into account efficiency and climate impacts as part of their requirements before the PUC. And then the PUC has obviously a process to approve or deny or change those plans. That's where we start. We don't, you know, go overnight with, you know, picking winners and losers.
This just popped into my head as you were saying that. You know, are we looking at barbecues being all electric down the road? Outdoor lighting and things like that?
Let me say it this way. If we get to the point in this battle against climate change where we can focus on propane tanks, on outdoor barbecues, we're already wildly succeeding. So, you know, those things are so far down the line. You know, I would say the same thing for, you know, agricultural emissions in Nevada. They're so minimal that you're not gonna see any policies or programs to heavily address emissions from the agricultural sector in Nevada because it's not where you get the bang for your buck. And we gotta make sure that where we're focusing is where we're getting the biggest return on our investment, both in terms of the economics as well as our public health.
And so would I take that to mean that you do not have concerns about ranching, about, you know, cows and things like that?
I do not
in the big picture.
I do not have immediate concerns. So over the, you know, we have benchmark goals in 2025 and 2030. So for, you know, over the next 5 and 10 years, and the emissions from the agricultural sector aren't even really factoring into my mind in terms of how we get there, because they are just small compared to the other places where we have great gains to be made.
All right, let's take another break. We'll be right back with Brad Kroll after this timeout.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. Are you a homeowner who's interested in remodeling or building a home? At Design Outdoor, we can show you how adding natural or manufactured masonry stone can add beauty and value to your home. And we refer only the best contractors. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
Hey guys, are you watching the game at a friend's or the bar again because you can't watch at home with your wife? Or worse, because she kicked you out and kept your couch, your flat screen, and your kids? What's the one thing a man needs when he loses a good woman? A good lawyer. And when he loses a bad woman, he needs a great lawyer. What makes a good woman a bad woman? You tell me. You're the one that can't watch the game in your own home. I'm men's rights attorney Marilyn York, and I represent men in divorce, custody, and family law matters.
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. And a lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take an Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with the director of the Nevada Department of Conservation and Natural Resources, Brad Kroll. One thing that I have not heard mentioned, but again, I have not read every word in the report, is nuclear, because nuclear is the cleanest energy. But because of things that happened, 40 years ago now, with Three Mile Island and Chernobyl, the American public is terrified of nuclear. But actually, it's truly the cleanest fuel and the safest. Does it need to have a different name to be able to utilized in our clean future?
So there's a Nevada answer to that question, and there's a rest of the country answer for that question. And you know, in our climate plan, you won't see the word nuclear, because we're very conscious of not using nuclear energy, because it bolsters our argument for not being home for the waste that comes along with it. Now, I don't know if the traditional nuclear, the large-scale nuclear plants that we have online now, that's probably not the future of nuclear. It just doesn't pencil out. The economics don't pencil out. The generation doesn't, much less the waste side of it. But, you know, small advanced nuclear reactors that can provide, you know, baseload power in places and have much smaller waste profile, that could well be the future in many parts of the country, and it could even be part of a solution in Nevada. I know some of our rural co-ops are looking to maybe join with a small modular reactor company to provide some of their power.
Okay, explain that, small modular company.
So small modular reactors are think about like a shipping container sized power generation unit that uses nuclear technology to do it. You can ramp it up and ramp it down much faster. It has much less waste profile. It's a technology that the Department of Energy has been working on for a long time, and Congress has been appropriating money to help develop. It's not quite there yet commercially, but it's getting close. There's a couple companies that are about there.
The last thing, we've got about a minute left here, is the cost of this to the average person. We're seeing numbers just for the cost of water in Southern Nevada going up through the roof over time. Does it not concern you that the public will be asked to pay for this? Because even if it's the power companies investing the money, through the PUC, they will get that money back. Can the public afford this? And especially coming out of a situation that we're in right now?
So Sam, it's a great question, and it's an integral question to how we move forward. Whatever we do is going to take investment, but we need to make sure that that investment provides a return for consumers, either directly to their pocketbook in terms of savings on fuel or heating or other things like that, or improved public health benefits and things like that. So we want to be strategic in how we design those policies to make sure that the consumers don't bear the brunt of it, and that it's not, those costs aren't pushed down on them in an unfair fashion as well.
So who would bear the cost of it?
Well, it's going to be hopefully spread out over multiple parts of our economy and of our citizenry. If you're paying a little bit more for your electricity bill, but it's because you now have a charging station, on the corner of your block for your vehicle, or you've gotten one in your garage, there's a net benefit there, and you got to look at the full picture. And the same could be said for the much work we can do on efficiency improvements in Nevada, where there's some initial upfront investment, but the payoff is significant and long term.
I look forward to lots more discussions with you coming up in 2021, and hopefully can get you back in here as the session starts to see what your goals are for this next legislative session, the session without money.
Things will be different when we come back, and I would be happy to join you again.
Thank you, my friend. I appreciate you being here, and we'll be right back.
Brian Culpa Photography was born in the rolling hills of Massachusetts, and now he can help you experience the stunning beauty of Nevada in a whole new way through the power of flight. Flying has always been a passion for Brian, and at Brian Culpa Photography, he can make your imagination soar. Brian has the creative mind and tools to tell your unique story. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Finish. Dad? Why are you learning? This place is great.
Huh?
You gotta try this. Wow! This stuff is great! People are gonna love it!
Yes. Yes, they were.
As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's development company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head-on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done, and look to your future success. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
You can now watch Nevada Newsmakers on YouTube. Just go to YouTube and search for Nevada Newsmakers and become a subscriber. We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching and listening.